Let's go back to Revelation 1, and I just want to read a little from there, and then I want to take you into Revelation 21 and 22. But there's only a verse. You don't need to look it up. I'll tell you. Okay, let's go into Revelation 1, verse 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look! He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And in 21 and verse 6 of Revelation, it says, it's done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And to him or her, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And when the final chapter of 22 is being recorded, this is what Jesus says again. Behold, I'm coming soon. I am Alpha and Omega. And we'll look at that truth in a moment's time. I began a week or so ago with the story of those whales that were rescued off Battle Point, Alaska, how they had to make breathing holes. They got trapped in the ice. And every 20 meters or more, for 5 miles, one of them died on the process. But they got there. They got to freedom. And I was trying to say to you, that in a way, that's what church is about. It's a breathing hole for you. On a Sunday morning when we have our midweek activities, the things are going on. And we went into Revelation 1, and it was the focal point of this. He heard a voice speaking a word from the Lord. It was a word of grace and peace be to you. It's a word about glory unto him who loved us, what I've just read again to you. And then the vision that showed him the Lord Jesus. And there was a moment. Two different scenarios are taking place. He's in a gulag. He's on Patmos. He's in prison. He's never going to leave that. And it's Sunday. And he's in the Spirit. Those two scenarios, situations happening at the same time. In the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That was the moment. But the man in it all, was none other than the Lord Jesus. And we saw some of the things that he had to say about himself. And the message was about not being afraid. He's the first and the last. He was dead and he's alive, but I got the keys. And we explored that. Now I want to come to this. I am Alpha and Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come. Can I put it this way? I'm your A to Z. I'm your A to Z. In everything that's happening to you. So let me paint the picture. There's a small group of believers meeting probably in a small room that was away from the road. They're meeting for their Sunday service. And the door is locked. They wished it could have been open, but it's locked. And one by one, they arrived, just as you arrived here, but they came singly, one by one. And they had a code, a kind of secret knock at the door to be able to get in. And then it was risky being there, very risky. And they would be huddled together in the dim candlelight. Some of them were confused about what was happening. Some of them, I would think, would be very discouraged. by the things that were happening. But not this morning, not this day. There's a sense of expectancy. There's something that's changing the atmosphere in the room. They don't know what's going to happen, but they're sensing it's a special service. Do you know why? Because a letter has arrived. It's been circulated through 6 or 7 churches, as well as theirs, and it's from their pastor, Pastor John, the son of Zebedee. And some years before he became a pastor, John had walked and talked and shared his life with Jesus. And they haven't seen John and they haven't heard from John for years. Do you know why? Because being a Christian then was tough. There was persecution. They didn't know where John was. They didn't know he was on the island of Patmos. See, Domitian Caesar was barbaric in the way he ruled the Roman Empire and the way he treated Christians. As a consequence, folk like John are put on the island of Patmos. It was a place of rock quarries, if you wanted in a simple understanding what it was like. That's where you put criminals. That's where you put the troublemakers. And they would be sent there for the rest of their lives. You never went from Patmos. And somehow, John was able to write a letter. We call it the Book of Revelation. But he had to do it in a code, in a way, in a form, in a language that would get it past the censors, the Roman censors. And that's why you have the style of the Book of Revelation. It's an incredible letter with one glorious message. That's about the coming. The apocalypse is the technical word of Jesus Christ. He's coming to put everything right. So there on Patmos, and he's sitting on a rock pile, and he has this amazing experience. And he calls it was like a door opening up into heaven. And the one-to-one encounter that I was talking about, he heard a voice speaking to him, and it was no other than the Lord Jesus. The times were tough, the conflict was fierce, the pressure is intense, the forces of evil were creating chaos everywhere. But John wanted to let the people know, hang in, Jesus is the victor. Jesus is going to win. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Listen, it's tough when you have a guy in a public meeting can go and stab Salman Rushdie as he did so many 15 times. When you have J.K. Rowling threatened overnight that she's the next one. When you see the knife that's constantly being used, if you don't show me respect, is the argument. If you see the evil that's around, what are we talking about? I want to tell you, Jesus is the winner. We've lost a lot of people with the pandemic, but I want to tell you, Jesus is the victor. He is the Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter, and Omega is the last letter of the alphabet. Jesus says that he's the living one. He said, I was dead, that's Calvary, but I am alive forever and ever. So this what we're going to talk about is an encounter after the resurrection, after the ascension. And at a time like that, he's got a special word for the church. And that's why I'll bring it to you this morning. Let me just say something more. Church is not an accident that came into being because a number of people wanted to become followers of Jesus Christ and said, oh, let's have church then. It was something that God intended because the church is the people of God drawn together in this shared experience of knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then you go on and we journey together. Some of you have been with me for many years and we've journeyed together as God's people, just like Israel did in the Old Testament. And as we've journeyed, so Jesus has gone with us. Now, he made a remarkable statement way back when he was talking to the disciples one day in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will never overcome it. Jesus announced the church, announced it, established it, died on a cross for it, rose from the dead for it, then empowered it with his Holy Spirit and promised always he would be there to sustain and build it. And he's coming back one day to make us his bride. So the church is important to Jesus. That's why I want to take this series through with you, because I want the church to be important to you, to us, that connected to Jesus, we are linked with the one who makes even the demons in hell shake and quiver because of this exciting claim. He says, I'm the first and the last. I was and I am and I always will be. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm A to Z. That means it's inexhaustible. You can't exhaust the alphabet. You don't add any more letters to the alphabet. There are no new letters. You can have all your modems, your iPads, your tablets, your phones, your text messaging, anything and everything you like that technology has invented for you. They can be cryptic. They can have whatever they want. They can develop a method of their own. But there are no new letters in the alphabet. The same alphabet has been used from generation to generation. Every kind of writer like Dickens or Shakespeare or contemporary Marv Finchley or Clive Cussler or Lee Child or Alan Tishmarsh, any of these others, they've used the same letters. Nothing else. And you take those 26 letters and you juggle them and you twist them into words. And the words can be short and they can be long. You arrange them or you rearrange them into fiction or non-fiction. You make a crime thriller or a biography. You make an instruction manual so you know how to repair something, or you make a cookery book. And you use A to Z, 26 letters. You go to the libraries. And you'll see there are so many, many different ways. And when the last book is written, it'll be with the alphabet. And Jesus holds up these two letters. And what's he trying to say? What does he mean? Well, everything else can come and go. But just like the alphabet, he'll still be here and still be there. Over the centuries of time, millions have come to him. Do you know what they found? Love and hope and peace and salvation. But his grace has never run out. His power has never been exhausted. He doesn't say, sorry for you 21st century people, I used it all up in the 1914-18 war, or the 39-45 war, or I use it all up. You can never say that. Never say that. And he says, I'm A to Z. You do something with me. I would say most of you know John 3:16. Would you say John 3:16 with me? We do it slowly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Do you see? It's the great love story. Did you see how it began? It began with the God who's got no beginning. And how does it end? Shall have eternal life. You have life that has no ending. You've just said it. I said it with you. That life has no limits either to the joy or love of God. And the key was this. He gave his only son. Because Jesus is the one who reconciles and redeems. He's the one who restores and renews. He's the one who forgives and forgets our sin. He's the one who lifts us as he loves us. He's the one who seeks the one who strayed. He's the one who finds those who are lost. He's the one who welcomes the prodigals. He restores the failure. He mends the broken. He supplies strength to those who are weary and worn and tired and feeling, I've got to give up. He gives purpose to aimless lives. He shields those who are helpless. He gives a future to those who feel life is hopeless. He gives new life to those who say, it's lifeless, I'm going to quit and take their life. There was a day when his enemies watched him. They got so frustrated. Frustration, consternation. They were so angry and they exclaimed this. It's John 12:19. Look, the whole world has gone after him. That was then. I want to tell you this. It's still happening. His love, his grace, his power has never been exhausted. His ability to meet your need right now is just as it was then. And that's why he made sure you would be here this morning. Whatever demands you make on his love, whatever demands you make on his grace, his pity, his concern, his power, he'll tell you this. I'm A to Z. I'm the inexhaustible Christ, just like your inexhaustible alphabet. I am Alpha and Omega. Shall I tell you something? The alphabet is indispensable. And Jesus is indispensable. You see, if you never learn the alphabet, every book is closed to you. You can hold in your hands books that will tell you about history or philosophy or science or love or romance or whatever. And they will mean nothing to you. They'll just be marks on a white page or whatever the color is. It'll mean nothing until you master the alphabet. So why does Jesus three times make this claim? I am Alpha and Omega. Because not only is he inexhaustible, he is indispensable. He wants to connect with the onward march of history. So we will realize this. Nations come and nations go. Age after age. The 19th century, the 20th century, the 21st. And each will have its own significance. Each will have its own peculiarities. But the world moves on relentlessly. It doesn't stand still. And Jesus wants us to know and wants to emphasize, you'll make nothing of the world. You'll make no sense of living without me. I was there at the beginning of all the ages. I'll be there in the final one. I'm there all the time. I'm there all the while. I'm there all the way. He is eternal. He is unlimited by time. At the beginning of everything, he's going to be there. And at the end of everything, he's going to be there. He blessed men like, well, put any name, Paul, Peter, James, John. Go back in the old testament. He blessed, put any name. He blessed that man there, Ebenezer Temple. These were young men in the church here. He blessed them here. Some of them lost their lives in World War I. This man here, his boy was out in Kiribati. He wrote back to his dad and said, I feel lonely. I'm on my own. And then he wrote, and the tears had dropped on the page. He said, but Christ is with me. He's with me. Along this pew here, I can go 52 years I've been here. I can tell you, Askew's where John was a little boy sitting down there in those two rows. They were gone and they were blessed. That's where my brother will be talking about on Wednesday. That's where Dennis sat for all the years. He blessed them. You put a name there. Put whatever name there you like. Put your name there. Because he who is inexhaustible wants to be indispensable. He wants to be. You can make the list as long as you care and you can make it endless. But I came to tell you, right where you are sitting this morning, he's here to bless you. He's here to bless you. That's the amazing thing about this. Are you thinking about tomorrow? What might be? What could be? The whole drama of what we're living through at the moment, Jesus says, I'm the key to it. I was, I am. He was, he is, he will be. Indispensable. As you and I anticipate things to come, events that will take place, things that we may have to face, issues that will confront us, sometimes sickness that we will struggle with, losses that we will experience, encounters, setbacks, anything that might devastate you. They can intimidate you, they can threaten you, but Jesus will be right there in every one of them. It's the indispensable necessity in every life situation, the Alpha and Omega. There's a black preacher called S.M. Lockridge, with the Pentecostal group. And they just called him up to the platform to say something during a church service. And the folk gave him this image, just tell us who King Jesus is. Well, it's a formidable message and tape. I'm going to give you a part of it, an excerpt. See what he said. Who is Jesus? He is God's Son and the sinner's Savior. He is august, you know, special, and is unique. He is unsurpassed and he's unshakable. He is the pathway to peace and the roadway to happiness and righteousness. He's the gateway to glory. And he is the highway to happiness. He is indestructible. He is incomprehensible. He is irrefutable. I can't get him out of my mind and I can't get him out of my heart. I can't outlive him and I can't live without him. Do you get the point? Alpha and Omega, the A to Z, the indispensable. And the next time you feel like a failure, or somebody says something to you and you feel inadequate, well, Jesus will come right where you are, no matter who you are. And simply because he knows, his grace and power can change you. And when you follow Jesus, he promises to be wherever you are, he'll be there. Not just in one place, but in the whole universe. There isn't a spot where he isn't. What a blessing that is. He's indispensable. I'm A to Z. And in 21:6 he said, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm invincible. I'm invincible. I go right through from the start to the finish. What he begins, he completes. He's not going to stop. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to leave you. When he gets to the letter M or S or T or whatever it is. Do you know what the scriptures tell me about Jesus? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul urged the listeners to note this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion until the day of Christ. Philippians 1:6. What about this? Able to save to the uttermost. That's completely, says the NIV. Those who come to God because he ever lives to intercede for them. Hebrews 7:25. Here's Jude 24. He's able to keep you from falling and present you without fault. Jesus is in control of our world. He shaped it. He holds it. His power can shape and hold you. He will take you right from the alpha moment of your life, your first conversion moment, when you first trusted him, to the omega, the Z day, when he invites you, come home. Come home. Come to your forever home. And then he will present you to the Father because you are unique. You are special. And he knows all there is to know about you. He knows your moods. He knows your feelings. He knows your thoughts, your desires. He knows what you worry about, what upsets you. He knows about the disappointments. He knows about the tears that run down your face. He knows about the fears. Do you know what a poet can do? A poet can take those 26 letters and turn them into a lyric, into a song. There's a great song, Psalm 23. We'll be singing it here on Wednesday morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A judge in a law court can take those same 26 letters and turn them into a sentence that sends a criminal behind bars. I tell you what about Jesus. He can do much more than that because he's A to Z. He can adapt himself to you and your need when he does it for me. I can't understand it, but that's what he does. And what he does for one, he can do for everyone. No matter who. Revelation 22:13 puts it like this. He describes himself as the first and the last. So guess where he's going to be? We're all going to be in the same city, the New Jerusalem. A sociology class conducted a study of about 200 young people from the inner city of Baltimore. And they reached a consideration that following the background of these 200 people, youngsters, not one of them had a chance. Now, you know, I have a background in education and study of psychology. That's where I got this from. And they did a follow-up 20 years later. They located 180 out of the original 200. And out of that 200 and the 180, 176 had become doctors, lawyers, ministers, or successful business people. And the psychology input was this: how did they escape their predicted future? And they all pointed to one teacher. And so the study group traced her and asked, how is it you, one teacher, made such an impact on these down and out youngsters? And she smiled. She said, I loved them. And they knew it. Do you hear me? I loved them. And they knew it. Do you know what Paul tells me? In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love never fails. And Jesus, the A to Z, loves you. Will you allow him to change you for time and eternity? Because there's no greater Savior than Jesus. Because there's no greater person than Jesus. and the power of his person and the magnitude of his mission, what he's committed to do, and the dramatic moment when he gave himself at Calvary, it all sets him apart. There is no one else like him in all of the world. There never has been and there never will be. He stands alone above all others, and he always will be Alpha and Omega, inexhaustible, indispensable, and invincible. And all you need to do is trust him. Is trust him. Give your heart, give your life to him, and do it now. Do it this morning. Do it here. It'll make all the difference. Before I pray, take a moment. And if you need to say, Jesus, I make you my A to Z, my Savior, do it right where you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are who you are, inexhaustible, indispensable. You're the wonderful Savior. Let no one go home today without the assurance that you would be King and Lord of their lives. Take us on our way as we journey on. Make this week a blessed week. We commit it to you now. You are our A to Z, our Alpha and Omega. We place ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.